Well, I don't know if we're going to attempt to baptize that way, but we do think it's important for believers to follow in baptism. It brings back a memory for me. Years ago when I pastored in Savannah, I had the privilege of baptizing several young children. This particular Sunday, I became aware that one of our candidates had a deep fear of water, and they just let me know that at the last minute. Sure enough, we decided to go ahead with the baptism and see what would happen. And during this particular Sunday, as I got the child down in the baptismal pool, he was about the age of our candidates a few weeks ago, probably 8 or 10 years old. And so we got him down in the pool, and I just did my normal thing, and I tried to put him under the water to baptize him. Now, you have to get the whole picture. He's 8 or 10 years old. He cannot touch the sides of the pool anywhere, and somehow he managed to never go under that water with his feet floating. I still, to this day, do not know how in the world he kept his head from going under the water. And so I still look back on that event, and I have to laugh about it. So I'm assuming that the Lord is okay. We did not fully immerse that child that day, and there was definitely not going to be a second attempt. I can promise you that. But I still, to this day, remember that one occasion, and it was interesting. And I will leave him nameless today because we are still connected with him on Facebook. It was quite a challenge. Today we will be talking about this subject of baptism as we continue in our Roots series. I don't know what your particular experience with baptism may be, whether it's more like the one that we showed a minute ago on video, or maybe it's like the one I mentioned a minute ago about the young child. But hopefully it was a positive, a memorable thing for you. It does hold special meaning. So I want to jump right into this and bring up our articles from our website, article number 8. I encourage you again, if you have devices with you today, to look up those events either on YouVersion or on our First Free Will Church app. I'll challenge you to do that, and you can follow along. You can take notes. It's something that we put out there for your benefit. I hope that you'll use that if you don't already have your Bibles. But let's look at our articles from our core beliefs that are found on our website. This is Article 8. We do not administer baptism to infants or to children who have not confessed faith in Christ, nor do we baptize by any other mode than immersion. We would ask any believer who has not been baptized by immersion to submit to that New Testament form before becoming a member of First Free Will Baptist Church. So what's baptism all about? How does that take place? Why is it important enough to even mention as a core belief to actually preach a sermon on? Why is it that important? Let me just jump right in, and you can follow along, and there's going to be many scriptures here today. Mark chapter 1 is where we'll find our first verse. First of all, I want to talk about baptism today, that it was taught, it was practiced, and commanded in the Bible. Now, at the beginning of our service, we showed you the short movie clip there that had John the Baptist that was baptizing. And here's some reasons why we believe it was taught in practice, some supporting evidence to the fact. First of all, the fact that John the Baptist baptized prior to Christ's ministry. Over in Mark chapter 1, the Bible says this: John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so we see that the practice had already started. Furthermore, Jesus also began to baptize in Mark chapter 3. Jesus was baptized. He came along, as you saw in the clip. He came down and Jesus was baptized, showing an example to us, the Son of God. And John probably had the right response. Lord, you come to me, but I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, listen, John, permit it to be so now. And so he baptized him. This is recorded. Jesus' baptism is actually recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. So we see John the Baptist baptizing. Now we see Jesus coming along for John to baptize him. But thirdly, another bit of supporting evidence is the fact that Jesus, John, and the disciples continued to baptize after this moment. Over in John chapter 3, the Bible says this: after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, And he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing in Aden and Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. I'm sure this was quite a thing to witness during this time. So you see the continuation of baptism to this point. But not only this, there's more evidence to this point. Jesus actually commanded it at his ascension. He felt it was so important that when he was ascending into heaven, he took time to mention the fact that we need to continue to baptize as a part of discipleship. Over in one of our Great Commission verses found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the Bible says, "Go therefore," you probably know the verse, "go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So at the point of ascension, Jesus took time to mention to his church, "Here's some of my final commands, the things that you need to do once I have left this earth to continue in the practice that we have set before you, continue to baptize those that would come to Christ." One more thing I want to mention during this first point is the fact that the apostles continued to baptize after Jesus' ascension to heaven. Now, if you follow that timeline, it just really adds credence to all that we're saying. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So get that picture. You have all of these supporting evidences. John the Baptist comes along. He baptizes. Jesus joins John and is baptized of him as an example. Then Jesus and John and the disciples continue to baptize. Then Jesus commands at his ascension to continue to baptize. And after he's gone, the apostles continue to baptize. So these are the supporting evidences from Scripture as to why we baptize. But secondly, I would mention to you today that baptism is recognized as an ordinance of the historical church. Now, by definition, an ordinance is a prescribed practice. That's what the word actually means by definition. It's something that has been prescribed and ordered by Jesus Christ himself and practiced by the church. An ordinance is something that the church practices because Jesus Christ has told her to do so. So let me reiterate the verse from just a few minutes ago. Jesus said, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them." So you'll notice this is the word of Jesus Christ. So therefore, it is an ordinance practiced by the historical church. I would hasten on to the third point of the message today. Baptism is symbolic of the new life that's found in Christ. Now, today we sang a lot of songs that were connected to the resurrection. This is a beautiful time of year where we connect the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all these songs hold such deep meaning to those of us who have accepted Christ. And we see that baptism is symbolic of the new life that's found in Christ. I read through a humorous story this week, and I just had to share it with you. A story is told about a man who is stumbling through the woods. Unfortunately, he was totally drunk, and he came upon a preacher that was baptizing people in a river. And he proceeded to walk into the water, not really knowing where he was. And actually, as he walked out, he got near to the preacher, and the preacher turned around and saw the man there. And though he was almost overcome with the smell of the alcoholic man, he asked the drunk man, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" And the drunk man answered, "Yes, sir, I am." So the preacher grabbed this man and he dunked him in the water and he pulled him up and he said, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" And the man replied, no, I haven't found him." And the preacher said, kind of shocked with the answer, "Well, I guess we need to do this again." And so he baptized the man again, and he brought him out of the water and said, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" And the man again shook his head and wiped his eyes and says, "No, I haven't found Jesus." And the preacher was at his wit's end, didn't really know what to do, so he decided one more time, and surely the man will find Jesus. And so he held him a little longer under the water, and he pulled him out of the water, and the man was kicking and gasping for air, and he pulled him up, and he said, "Brother, for heaven's sake, have you found Jesus?" And he wiped his eyes, and he caught his breath, and he said, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" So there are different occasions. Maybe you've got some stories to tell like that down through the years. It brings back some good memories for me in Colorado. In a few minutes, I hope to show you some pictures. We baptized in the river, and perhaps you've got some occasion. How many of you in the building today were actually baptized in a river? In a river, raise your hand. Raise them up high so we can see. Look how many people in a river. Okay, how many of you are baptized in a lake of some sort, a body of water in a lake? Okay, we got several of you. How about in a local pond, maybe on a farm or something? Any local ponds? Anybody like, all right, all right. Okay, how about a creek? All right, who was baptized in a creek? There we go. All right, we got some creek goers. Was anybody here baptized in a jacuzzi or hot tub? Anybody? Anybody? All right. I have some pictures of that in just a moment. In Colorado, we had to get a little bit creative because sometimes the water was a little bit too cold elsewhere to baptize. How about any other place than what I have? Well, obviously the baptismal pool at church. How many we got of those? Okay. Do we have any places that I have not mentioned? Raise your hand. Greg, where were you baptized? In where? In Iowa? Okay, that is strange. Hopefully it was still in a body of water, bathtub or something, I don't know. Who raised their hand back over here? Kevin, where were you baptized? In the ocean. I didn't mention the ocean. That is so cool. Any other ocean people here today? All right, Kevin was baptized in the ocean. Anything else I've mentioned today where you were baptized? Any other strange places? You know, in the Bible, it talks about there was much water there. I think I'll actually get to that in just a few minutes. Where you were baptized is really not that important. It's just submitting to it, and it's just the new life found in Christ, the image of that. And that's just so neat. I want us to break this point that we're talking about here down a little bit further, the symbolism of the new life found in Christ. And first of all, I want to mention the meaning of baptism. Romans chapter 6, this is a little bit lengthier here, so bear with me. What should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Boy, it's just so much wrapped into these four verses here. Baptized into his death. What that means is that baptism is a symbol. It's symbolic of our union with Christ. And when I became a Christian, I was united into Jesus spiritually. His death becomes my death. His resurrection becomes my resurrection into new life. And the Bible actually contains 123 references to baptism. In the New Testament, baptism is closely associated with the conversion experience. You see that all through the New Testament. And of the 16 groups or individuals mentioned in the Bible as having experienced Christian baptism, there is no indication that it was ever long delayed following their conversion to Christ. And that's why we try to get folks, if they've been saved, we say, hey, you need to go ahead and get baptized. It's always connected in the New Testament to that conversion experience. Most were baptized immediately after receiving Christ, and you probably know some of these stories. Baptism was the public start of the Christian life. And new converts would often take on a new name at the time of their baptism. And I find that very interesting according to history. Let me show you some of these pictures I mentioned a moment ago. Some of my favorite baptism pictures from years ago. Just click onto these. This is actually a young lady that came to Christ in Colorado. She was our first baptism candidate. She was actually in the Mormon church and was converted from the Mormon church, and we baptized her. Now, the reason we've got on those waders there, this water was about 50 degrees. It was snow melt off, all right? This is the Platte River in Colorado. Believe me, she could not breathe at the moment right here. All right, click to the next picture there. This is TJ. He was actually our very first convert in Colorado, and it has deep meaning. He actually is in the ministry now, and Jesus transformed his life, and it's really exciting and see, follow him and see what Christ did through this young man. He led worship for us for several years, and it was a tremendous, tremendous experience to watch him. Okay? This is a borrowed baptism pool. We boys, you can set these things up in a hurry. This is Blaine and his family. Click forward. And there's the hot tub I was talking about that we had to get creative with. And this is Bob, he wanted to let everybody know he was following Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Eddie. Ford, any others? There we go. Okay, these are just some memorable times to me. We had so many that came to Christ out there, and we just used these different modes. And sometimes we would set up in the gymnasium and hope that nothing leaked. Other times we'd go to the river. Other times we'd do it in the hot tub. But where and how, it didn't really matter, but we just made sure we put them under the water. And let's look back, I tell you what, at the first part of our Articles of Belief again before we look at the next few points. Here's how it reads in Article 8. We do not administer baptism to infants or to children who have not confessed faith in Christ, nor do we baptize by any other mode than immersion. So let's look at that method of baptism. Why is that important? I've been asked this several times over my ministry years. Why is the method that important? Well, out of the purpose of baptism comes the requirements for Christian baptism. The New Testament teaches that only true believers to Christ, so those that have actually come to Christ, should be baptized. So that follow along here. First of all, Jesus commanded in the Great Commission, and you'll see in his command that is to baptize people after they have become disciples. Okay, after they have become disciples. And then secondly, you see that baptism is reserved for believers because only believers have been spiritually baptized in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." So follow along. Only believers, those that have actually accepted Christ, need to be baptized. In the book of Acts, people expressed repentance and faith and received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. This is found all through the book of Acts, in chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 16, chapter 18. You see that they had faith in Christ and received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. Spiritual baptism must be a reality through trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Otherwise, you're just getting wet. Before water baptism can have its true spiritual meaning for a person, they need to accept Christ. A person baptized before salvation just becomes a wet, unsaved person. Okay? That's all that they become. This means that baptism should be limited to people who are old enough to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, this obviously excludes infants, since they can't understand these things. They can't understand what it is that they will do with Jesus at that point. Also, the Bible never gives us a single clear example of infant baptism. Therefore, we believe one must accept Christ first. Now, while an infant cannot believe, a small child can. And Jesus himself actually spoke of the little ones who believe in me, he says over in Matthew chapter 18. So if a child gives a clear testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ, and they show a basic knowledge of the understanding of being saved, then they are eligible for baptism, just as an adult would be. And the other, just by example, a few weeks ago, before our candidates were baptized, I met with them during the week prior, and I asked them specific questions so that they could answer me about what they did with Jesus. And that's the time, I make sure I do that with children and adults alike. I make them tell me what they have done with Jesus, and they gave clear indication that they had asked Jesus into their hearts. And that's why we believe it's important, according to Scripture. The method is important. It's for those that have actually accepted Christ. Let's look secondly at the mode of baptism then. Because, you know, we hear discussion about this method. But the mode, I will have to admit, there are folks who don't much like the idea of having to be dunked. You can actually go online and you can see many, many people who have that fear of water. And some of these things can be quite comical as pastors attempt to baptize people who have this fear, and it's very serious. There may be folks here that have never been baptized for this very reason. I don't know. You'll have to let me know that after church. Actually, Eileen, this little girl named Eileen, at age 8, I read online, here's a statement that she made about this subject as far as she was concerned with baptism. She said this, Never try to baptize a cat. I thought that was a very wise statement. She probably understands after having to try to baptize a cat what it may be like to baptize somebody who has a fear of water. The principle to remember here is that genuine belief in Jesus must precede Christian baptism if it's to be scriptural and meaningful. And throughout church history, three modes of baptism have been practiced: immersion, sprinkling, and pouring. Now, we believe that immersion is the most biblically correct means, and we believe this for three reasons. First of all, the Greek word baptize literally means to dip, immerse, or plunge. And so right off the bat, you see in the meaning of the word baptize, it appears to be immersion. Now, although the scriptures use the word baptize in other contexts than actual baptism in water, there's no denying that the root definition of this word is the same. It means immersion. But secondly, immersion best pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice that when I baptize, and probably the pastors that you've seen baptized, typically say buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism is an ordinance that reflects this very deep theological tenet for believers. We believe that the symbolism would be lost with pouring or sprinkling. And you'll note that many ministers say that actually what I was talking about a minute ago is just a picture of being buried and raised in Jesus Christ. And it just best pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Third thing, the surrounding context of Scripture suggests baptism by immersion. And this is where we draw even further evidence. Matthew chapter 3 says this: they were baptized in the Jordan. In the Jordan, okay? John chapter 3, verse 23, there was much water there, okay? Matthew 3:16, then he went up out of the water, noting that they were actually down in the water. And then Acts chapter 8, they went down into the water. So anytime we find this in Scripture, the actual pictures of baptism, you see it's connected with actually being in the water, and the context suggests that they were immersed. So let me start wrapping this up today. This is not a message that takes very long to preach. This has been a straightforward lesson on baptism today. I hope it's been informative, and I wanted it to be so. But more than that, I hope that I have piqued the curiosity perhaps of someone here today that has not been baptized because they have never become a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, while we offer baptism here at First Free Will, we can't offer eternal life to you. We can't make you accept Jesus Christ. We still believe you have the free will to accept Christ or to deny him. You know, only Jesus can give you life. We can baptize you, but only Jesus can give you life. And he extends that invitation to you here today. Perhaps there's one in the crowd today that you've never been baptized, and for whatever reason. Is it important? I do believe it is important to you. And I believe it's something that you need to do. Furthermore, because it's a part of our tenets, according to our guidelines, in order to join our church, you have to be baptized by immersion. So I don't encourage you to listen to what I'm saying here today, but the most important thing is, have you been saved? Have you accepted Jesus into your life? Because here's what I have uncovered down through the years. There have been many folks that have been baptized in church. Oh, I'm a member of that church over there. I was baptized back in 1990. Well, that's wonderful. But tell me what happened in your life prior to the baptism of 1990. Tell me when it was that you got saved, so we say. Tell me when it was when you accepted Jesus into your heart for him to wash your sins away. Tell me when it was when you became a follower of Jesus, because that's the more important thing here today. Otherwise, you may just be a wet member of a church, right? I believe you got to go back and check on that salvation experience and then take things in the proper order that the Scripture command us. And listen, if that's you today, then I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to follow up with you and make sure that you've followed things in the proper order of the Scripture. Jesus got baptized. I still find that amazing, and I can sense how John felt when he baptized Jesus. But he did that so that we could understand how important it is. It's an ordinance of the church, and I hope that you followed him in baptism today, but more than that, I hope you've accepted him into your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer today. Lord, today I find no clearer picture in all of the Word of God that explains the salvation experience than actually being baptized. It's a beautiful picture of what can happen, the new life in Christ. And today, that is what I hope that everybody sensed through this very short message today, that it's important to know you because that prepares us for eternity. And there may be one in the room today that has no idea what I'm talking about when I say the new life in Christ. Well, Holy Spirit, then I pray that you would just push that point home into their hearts right now. Help them to sense a need of accepting you. Lord, it's great if they have hung around church. Maybe they've gone to this church for a long time. But that's not really what we're after here today. We're not after their money. We're not after whatever they may sense. Lord, we're doing this today because we want them to be a believer and to be ready for eternity. So have your way in our hearts.